Okay, beautiful. Hello, hello, beautiful sisters out there. And I'm here to welcome you to your Feminine Power Hot Seat mentoring call, which is part of your support for the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood. I'm in the Powerfully Feminine Intensive Program. And as I'm always very respectful of your time, and I truly know that time is an important asset to us in this modern world, I do tend to start out calls on time. So the call is being recorded, and after I do some production on it, I'll place it up on the membership site under live calls and this date if you want to re-listen to it. So I'm just going to quickly unmute everybody here just so that we can say hello. Hello, hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi. Want to hear everyone's hey. Voices out there. Hello, welcome, welcome. So great to have you here.
Yeah.
Very warm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So I'm just going to mute you again, just one sec. I mute mainly just so that we exclude any unnecessary background noise whilst we are here in this space together. So it's beautiful to hear your voices. Now, as many women in the training are not my private clients, this is actually your opportunity to get in-person live hot seat mentoring from me as you go through the program. It's an essential part of your success in the program and a place to voice, to share, and to come out of hiding and to open up even more. So just get ready to share any burning questions and find the part of you that can be brave enough to share your experiences as we dive even deeper here together. So I want to acknowledge you for turning up today, and just a few things about this call and how it will be conducted and how you can get the most out of the call and your time to be seen and heard. Now, you need to note that there are women at different stages of their relationship to their own feminine emergence, and we always want to be sensitive to that, whether somebody's very new and they're uncertain of the water, have problems or issues with women, there's many things, or they just don't really know what that feels like. And so I want you to recognize this is totally fine, and I don't want you to hold yourself back at whatever ever stage you're at. If you feel yourself a baby beginner or if you feel yourself advanced, please don't hold yourself back. Everything is welcome. And whether you're advanced and hearing beginner's questions or you're a beginner hearing advanced questions, this is really beneficial to us at all levels of any training. Okay, it's how I've designed this so that we have a more experienced part of the sisterhood and a newer part of the sisterhood in order that we're actually here to support each other at whatever stage we're at. And we always have something to learn from each other. Everything is welcome, and this is a very safe container for your expression. So right now, turn off any other distractions, which might mean closing the door, letting your family know that you are not available for the next hour and a bit, or however long it takes us, and turn off your cell phone ringer, turn off your tablets, and shut down any other web pages if you're on the web portal. We don't make this special, a special part of your out-breath time. So let's just start with a little meditation together. Okay, so we're going to start by closing the eyes and getting yourself in a comfortable seated meditation position. Now, the main meditation we do in the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood is the Microcosmic Orbit Meditation. We do a third eye meditation as part of the Arise in Your Queen program. But today I'm going to just get you to sit as straight and vertical as you can, which is an important part of the microcosmic orbit, actually. This vertical orientation of our body does something to our consciousness. It's important. It's something that defines our humanity, this vertical orientation. So even if you feel you need to sit in a chair, try not to rest on the back of the chair for the duration of the meditation. Otherwise, cross-legged position, lotus, half lotus, whatever is comfortable to you. And let's just start by doing a full length of breath, which means breathing in and up to the top of the head, and out and down to the base of the body, in and up to the top of the head, and out and down to the base of the body. A full length of breath just means all the way up to the top of the head, all the way down to the introitus and the perineum at the very base of the body. We don't breathe fully. And it's one of the things that leads us to becoming anxious, to flipping out of our feminine and into man mode, and into anxiety and lower feminine orientations. This full length of breath can do a lot for us as women, as we're emerging into our feminine power. And then we're just going to turn this full length of breath into the circulation of the microcosmic orbit. So letting the tongue rest up behind the upper teeth and in the upper soft palate of the mouth. Breathing in and out through the nose. And we breathe in and up the back of the body, the Yang channel, and out and down the front of the body, all the way down to the base. And it's a circulation that continues, even though I'm speaking potentially just a phase of the circulation. Please continue the circulation, allowing it to rev up, get into its own flow. In and up the back of the body, tracing the coccyx, sacrum, the spine, all the way up, back of the neck, back of the head, top of the head, and then out and down, tracing down the front of the forehead and third eye, the nose, mouth, and the tongue, front of the neck, center of the heart, solar plexus, belly, pussy, introitus, and breathing in and up. Let's do a few more circulations together. This is an energetic practice. It's an energetic meditation in which you are learning how to command this energy body. This energy body, which is the essence of the water element, which is that of the feminine. Just noticing how this starts to seat you more into your pussy, in your lower centers. This circulation starts to create bridges across your energy and not separate you, or separate your head from the rest of the body. It brings a sense of flow. A caressing of your energy with this practice. A beautiful act. Gentle act of self-care, self-love. Beautiful. And let's just finish up by rubbing the palms of the hands together. Not just warming them up, but you're actually stimulating the etheric body, turning the palms upwards to feel that tingling, pulsing that comes with that. And then we're going to place the palms facing inwards over the pelvis and your pussy. A storing of or a concentrating of this beautiful energy circulation we've just been doing together. And getting ready to return. And whenever we're returning from these kind of practices, whether it's pussy power practices or these practices, we bring back with us the strength of the practice we've just done, the energetic aspect of the practice. Beautiful. Well done. Okay. Beautiful. So a few practical things. I'll have you on mute for the call. If you have a question for me, then you need to press *6 or to raise your hand, and this will let me know that you have a question. And I just need to turn it into Q&A mode. Beautiful. So please raise your hand, press *6, and that will notify me that you are ready to ask a question. And I get it when... when we've just done a meditation, sometimes you're very internal, which is beautiful. But I do encourage you, this is what this call is for, is I usually really make it based on your questions. And what that means is when you ask me a question, it often prompts a teaching that I can pass to you, another level of depth of teaching. And so your courage to ask a question is a great giving to everybody who ends up on the call listening to it, or indeed listening to it on a replay. *6 or raising your hand on the web portal. Okay, so the Q&A session started in the portal. *6. Or raising your hands, the way that you raise hands, so that I know that you're asking a question. I think whilst this is on, I cannot see the normal. Here we go. Great. next question. Fantastic. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hey, Candace.
Hi.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just... seeing as we just did that wonderful meditation, I'm kind of curious. I'm just a beginner, but I'm wondering, like, for you, how much self-care do you have to do throughout the day, and just like that nourishing experiencing to like really keep yourself in the feminine? This could just be a beginner question, but
I would suggest that it's anywhere between a beginner and advanced question and a reminder to any of us at any stage that we need to be assessing that question all of the time. Now, what I mean by that, Elizabeth, is in answer to your question, it depends on the day and what I'm doing, okay? So, for example, I think we all have a tendency here, and this is what this work is based on a lot, we have a tendency to fall into habits that elicit either man mode or false feminine responses inside of us, yeah? And so what we need to learn how to do is to catch it and to go, I'm drilling down into man mode, I'm overworking, I'm getting into a spiral of stress, I'm getting angry or frustrated at the kids, right? I'm lashing out at my partner or my children, okay, or my friends. Now, all of these things, when we feel them in ourselves, we go, what's going on? Something's not getting her needs met here. Yeah? There's so much work we do on desire and needs in order that we learn how to go, what are my needs right now? Okay? This is why it's so important for us to go, what's happening? Are my needs getting met? If they're not, what do I need to do? In terms of what I can do for myself, you know, for yourself, in terms of what I teach you in the Powerfully Feminine Intensive, or if you have a partner, for example, do I need to be making an empowered request here with my partner? Do I need to be requesting something? Like, for example, had a client, a private client, who also was doing this work, and she learned how to catch that and ask her partner, I need you to take the kids for an hour and a half. I need personal feminine time. She could talk to him about what she was doing. She'd go and meditate, or she'd go out. She'd go into her room, and she and the children would know not to disturb her. And so it created a whole education for her family that this time was important for mummy. And this made mummy a nicer mummy and a better mummy. And you were able to be, I'm saying this specifically to you, because I know you are a mother. And it's better for everybody. Yeah, everybody's grateful when mummy's needs are getting met. I mean, we all know a million where mummy or daddy are aggressive and violent because everybody's walking on eggshells because nobody knows how to ask for their needs to be met.
Yeah.
And so remember, as a parent, we are educating our children about how to be adults, how to be humans.
We're
showing them by example how to, that your needs matter, and so do mine. Yeah? Your needs matter, but so do mine. Because that's a mixed message. We say, no, all your needs are primary, and mine get seconded. Because you're telling them, well, when you grow up, you get to prioritize your children and not have your needs met too. That's not going to go down well. Right?
No.
And so it's a new thing, right? If it's new for you, you're going to have to educate your partner. You're going to have to educate your children. Explain to them why children are amazing, right? You can say, hey, mummy needs a timeout right now.
Yes.
They would understand that.
Now I give you timeout. Mummy needs timeout.
Yep.
And it says, timeout's not a bad thing because it gives us time to reflect on what we want and need. And then after timeout, we get to discuss things sometimes, or I'll come back a lot, able to be a lot more present with you, okay? And then you either need a family member or your partner to, hey, I need you to take them right now. I need you to deal with what's happening. This is what, you know, and that's an education with your partner, which I largely address in the Arising Your Queen work. But you get what I mean there, right?
Yeah.
Because you told me before that your partner is very supportive. So,
you
know, once you've already got that in play, that's then up to you, right? You go, oh, it's up to me to discern where my needs are and how to ask and how to make empowered requests, not demands, right?
Yeah.
So it really depends on the day, right? Like we might be totally flowing and our sense of self-care is being met through the flow of our actions. Sometimes if we start feeling ourselves being depleted, you know that thing of like if we were at that cup of water, full cup of water, and we feel it's really, really going down, you know, we're feeling our tank getting depleted, it is no good to anybody for that to continue because it's not just one day, of course.
Right.
So for many of you know my story, you know, it took early 40s for me to realize I'd done that on a daily basis for 20-something years.
Oh,
and the thing is, it's extremely cumulative with women. Okay?
Yeah.
What it did to me was create extreme burnout, and I went into very early menopause subsequently. Like, I really burnt my body out. And it's not okay, you know. That's all I was taught. It's all I knew. It's one of the main things that motivated me to start doing this work and showing other women to try to preclude that on your behalf. It's not necessary to go down that track. Yeah.
Thank you,
Good, Elizabeth. Oh. Is there anything else? Does that elicit any further investigation?
I also was wondering, Just a quick question. When I bought my jade egg, I got one without the hole, and it was kind of like a bummer on my part because you were talking a lot about it being good when it has the string. Mm-hmm. Should I buy another one then? Because I thought maybe, when you do it enough, you don't need the string, but
seeing as I still like it myself with the string, you see, because one of the reasons why I like it is, you see, when you have a great acuity, you can move it into the upper and the middle and the lower quadrant without a string.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that's really cool to do is to gently pull against the string and your own squeezing in your vulva.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that if you don't have the string to pull against.
No.
So I love it for that reason, because it kind of objectifies the location in the vagina, and it also allows you literally to have something to sort of gently create a tension against, and you don't have that when it's not there. That's the main reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
At first, it's because women get anxious. They're going to lose it in their vagina somewhere and they won't be able to get it out.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen, of course. But
but it does feel so beautiful and big in there. I could see why you feel like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, your answer was just like just perfect, because I had been feeling really just like, I get so snappy at my kids. I'm like, why am I doing this? And so like what you said really was very meaningful and just like helped clarify things to me. So
perfect.
Thank you.
So your next question when you start snapping at them is, what needs of mine are not being met right now? And then when you identify them, then you go into a strategy about how to get them met.
Ooh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Divine. Thank you.
Very pleasure. Beautiful. And please share with us on the group how you're going with all that.
Thank you.
Great. Elizabeth, I've got a little cue here, so I'm going to move on. Hello, Markita.
Hi.
Hello and welcome.
My first call, so
welcome, congratulations. So great to have you here.
Yeah, I'm glad that I did start the program. I am also like at the beginning, so I don't know if my question is something that everyone else on the call knows, but I figured I would just at least put it out there. It's very similar to what someone mentioned in the group. I think it was based off of a post that you placed about how it could be a little lonely when your mate hasn't arrived yet.
Mm-hmm.
And someone asked what to do to kind of like not necessarily avoid the loneliness, but to move through that into a place of just receiving and being comfortable waiting for the arrival.
Okay.
So very similar to that. I wanted to know what either a ritual or what steps to take when, like, based off of the lessons, it's kind of like getting clear on the man that we want to, like, what
so
he
Markita,
embodies.
Markita, I just want to interrupt just for 1 second.
And sure.
Just because you're new, I just want you to be aware that, you know how when you signed up for the Arise in Your Queen program, I've bonused you the Powerfully Feminine Intensive?
Yeah.
So this call is supporting the Powerfully Feminine training, yeah?
Oh,
it's a separate
okay.
call that actually supports the Arise in Your Queen relationship work.
Gotcha.
So whatever you're going to ask today, I'm going to respond with regard to your feminine power work, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Just that on its own. I'm not going to be talking about dating and relationships on this call. I need to make that clearer when I... sometimes people aren't here when I do the initial preamble on this call. But you're very welcome to ask a question. If it's about relationships, I'm going to come back to your feminine power and energy, if that makes sense.
I will say maybe not. I'll
because it's very likely.
It is?
Yeah, that I can answer it. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know. It's very likely.
Well, will that call, and I'm sorry, I know I'm taking up someone else's time for asking a question. I didn't realize it was
I know it causes a little confusion sometimes. It's not a problem.
I'll ask in the group. I think that will probably be appropriate.
Okay. And have you had a chance to actually start looking at the powerfully feminine intensive work also? Because that's really the foundations of everything for the Arise in Your Queen training anyway. Hello? Oh, I think we lost you there, Makita. I can't hear you at the moment, unfortunately. If you have any questions, you can also just come up here and ask it in the Q&A or put your hand up again, please. Hello, I have a 785 number. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, this is Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Thank you. This is my first call with you guys. And I've gone through, I think, the first four modules in the Powerfully Feminine Intensive.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
So one of the things that I'm kind of trying to figure out how to balance out is, so I've struggled in the past with being very, very much in man mode and both like work and relationship, kind of similar to your story.
Yeah.
In the last really like year, I had my daughter, and that really kind of seemed to wake everything up for me.
As in, you had a baby?
I did. I had a baby girl, and she's my second child. But just with her, everything just seemed to kind of open up. Unfortunately, my husband and I broke up at the same time that we were having our daughter. So I'm in this funny position where I feel very much in my feminine sometimes, and I feel a lot more open, but being able to feel like I have boundaries with people, but also be able to feel like I'm open and in flow at the same time is something I'm trying to figure out how to balance out.
Yes, it's a really common question, by the way, and great question, Jamie. Thank you so much for bringing that. it's funny because behind your question is, well, how do I be open and fluid and receptive in my feminine and still have boundaries?
Right.
And the thing is, they're not antagonistic concepts. And somewhere in a lot of women, we believe that, well, the reason why I've been in man mode is that I've rightly got to put defenses up, and that's the thing that creates boundaries for me. And but what happens often is it gets conflated with closing our energy. We close our heart, we close our energy, and that's not right either. Right, and so what we end up doing is we bounce between closing and then opening without boundaries.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I really teach in this work, Jamie, I can't remember, are you in the Arise in Your Queen course also?
I'm not, but I would love to be.
Okay, great. Well, you can always reach out to me about that too. I'm happy to show you how to do that, how to upgrade to that.
Okay.
See, the thing is, I often use this analogy that if we look at a river, the course of a river from the mountains to the sea, which is where rivers come from, the river comes down the mountains and then it starts to create a river and a riverbed, and then it flows and meanders to the ocean. And I always say that the masculine is the riverbed and the feminine is the water flowing in the riverbed. And this is a reason why I'm very strong on asserting we're not here to throw out the masculine.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to employ the masculine from our feminine. Now, what I mean by that is what has happened to date is our masculine has dominated and hasn't even employed our feminine, but it has subsumed it to such an extent we don't even know what it feels like, except through either strong emotionality that feels boundaryless, or we allow people to walk all over us and cross our boundaries And that doesn't feel good either, right? So none of these mm-hmm. scenarios feel good. Being closed and highly boundaried and walled off doesn't feel right. Losing boundaries, being highly emotional and not feeling like we can express ourselves in the full breadth of ourselves doesn't feel right either, okay? And so the thing is, what we're really talking about when we're operating from what I just mentioned and what you're asking, we're really in the false levels. We're either in man mode or we're in the false feminine. Yeah? And the thing about the false levels is that they're very disempowered levels. We feel like we don't have power where we're in the false feminine or the false masculine or the man mode in the woman. Yeah? And so the reason why I train you how to be powerfully feminine, and I use that very distinct phrasing, is that people think that that's oxymoronic at first, right? That power yeah. or feeling powerful or even feeling successful and feeling feminine are oxymoronic concepts, right?
Right.
And yet the reverse is absolutely true. That as we learn how to stand in our power as a woman, emerge in our feminine power, what comes with it is an extrinsic defining of our boundaries. And the reason is because you know yourself better. You have much greater clarity on who you are, what you want, your intrinsic worth as a woman and as a person. And the greater the self-knowledge that you have in and of and for yourself, the clearer you are broadcasting your boundaries. It's an energetic okay. thing. It's not like you have to say anything for people to be very clear that you have a boundary. Very clear.
Okay.
And this is why I say that feminine power is what's happening from the inside out, because once you are really seated in your feminine power, like a knowing of your belly and your pussy and your sexuality, a seating, excuse me, and your energy and your heart, people just don't walk over you. They don't walk on your boundaries. And if they do, you feel it, you honor it, and you will make clear that that's not okay. Without having to fight them, without having to push away somebody, without having to close. Yep.
Okay.
And so what actually happens as we stand or arise in the queen inside of ourselves, we feel our value. We know what that feels like to be feminine and that the feminine is valuable to us, first and foremost, by the way, that we value what that feels like in us. And once you value it and you create it as a high value inside of yourself, others will too. It's just how energy works. You value that in yourself, others will value it in you. Yeah?
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, for me, it's trying to picture that feeling in my body in those moments, right? and I think I have had some of those moments, so I guess it's like building the confidence around that a little bit that, yes, I know what that feels like and I can
exactly
that.
Exactly. What you're describing is that you are in a place at the moment, Jamie, where you're still a bit uncertain what this feels like. You're a bit uncertain about what your needs are and your desires are. And that you're right. still playing with the feeling. So it's definitely a feeling-based experience, and it's experience in your own self and your own body. We can use others to model things for us, but it's always going to come back to your relationship to yourself, your body, your needs, your heart, your inner boundaries, as we're just talking about, and that it's something that practice will make valid to you. Practice, experience, And if it's fuzzy at the moment, then it's only that because you have been moving forward and you have had tastes of that where there's been clarity, and that you're still sort of, it's a little bit like you're straddling two worlds.
Yeah.
Where what you knew to be sure, but closed probably, mm-hmm. doesn't feel right anymore, and you're just straddling this new world of, wow, okay, I believe what you say is true, Candace, and maybe other people. I believe that what you say is true, and yet it's not fully true for me yet. I haven't personally fully experienced that. And that piece there is tantamount to, you know, you could either withdraw from this work and say, well, it's not true for me, so it's not true. But you're still in the learning phases, so you're still experiencing something new. And this is where I really, again, implore and encourage you to ask questions, to do honest reveals and share in the group. Because that's when, you see, I can't do anything for somebody if they're not going to stand up and ask questions. It's not my responsibility. I do prompts to ask you questions, but if people don't stand up, I can't support you. I mean, I've got 200-something women in this program alone, and I'm 100% there for you if you lean forward and ask questions, yeah? And I know that's really nerve-wracking too. I think somebody before was saying, oh, well, this is just too basic. This is just too... It's like, no, never, ever. A question is never too basic. It's never too... Everybody learns from what I call Baba, going back to basics. All of us learn from watching, hearing, and witnessing somebody else's experience. Yeah?
Yeah.
So whilst you are learning what your queen feels like, what you feel like in the feminine, it's still sort of only theory to you. And that's really normal. That's really normal. When the whole world, if you think about it, the whole world has taught us that this masculine way of thinking, of being, of doing, of operating is the way to be. And then I have come along and said, that's not the only way to be, actually. You don't have to believe that to be true anymore. Just because 99.9% of the world said that's the way to be, that's where you experience boundaries, that's where you experience strength, that's where you experience success. And I'm saying, well, actually, that's not true. You're going, well, that's all I've known. And this is kind of terrifying because the whole entree into feminine power is not just more intellectual knowledge. It's about embodying something very, very different. And it's going to take a bit of time. And this is actually, just so you're hearing this and anybody else listening, this is actually why I extended the support for 12 months instead of it just being for the 90 days of the program because I know it takes time. And I've also never kicked anybody out of the Facebook group, even though many people out there try to recharge people and whatever for continuing support. Once you're inside of the Powerfully Feminine Sisterhood, you're inside of the sisterhood. So I'm here to support you. It takes time. And it takes support when we fall back into man mode or we fall back into the fear-based beliefs about life. That's why we support each other. That's normal. Again, if we feel like the salmon swimming upstream and everybody else is telling you something else, and of course the worst thing is they're not saying anything out loud, it's just the consciousness of our time. That's even more insidious somehow, right?
Right.
Yeah. So you've been courageous, you know, realize that you're doing an unconventional thing at the moment, but we're here to support you in that.
No, I love it. This is good.
Is there anything else? And just while Jamie's finishing up here, it's star 6 to put your hand up. or you can, star 6, or you can put your hand up in the web portal if you have a question. Is there anything else? Because there's no one waiting right now.
I guess going back a little bit to the conversation with the previous question is, sometimes when we're already in that moment of, like, really tense, feel like we're going to snap, like that's already kind of being in that man mode at the moment, right? So
sometimes it's false feminine. That's very classically okay. When the princess is being triggered and she's what we're doing in the lower feminine, the false feminine most of the time, is either in the maid or the princess, we're externalizing our experience. And what that means is the world's either irritating us, we're blaming something outside of us, we're frustrated, we're outside of ourselves. And you see, once we learn how to identify our needs and our desires, we learn to how to communicate them clearly and cleanly to ourselves first and foremost, and then to the people around us, then everything changes, you see. Because suddenly you feel empowered to ask for your needs to be met. You see, one of the biggest things that's happened for us women is our needs have been turned into things like being needy. Our needs and desires have been turned into us as being perceived as being too much. Okay? And when we don't have an empowered relationship to our needs and desires, first and foremost, how is somebody else going to respond to them in a solid and encouraging way? This is why the Powerfully Feminine Intensive is all about essentially your relationship to your feminine. Yeah. How you feel about it, how you relate to it. And then we kind of go out into the world and we try it on. We feel it. We see how people respond. And, of course, what can happen at first is we're still trepidatious about it. And so the princess gets triggered or the maid gets triggered. And we can't use that as a justification to not proceed. We can just go, okay, I'm still uncertain about this. I'm still not feeling that confident. I'm going to need more time in immersion. But that doesn't stop you going out there every single day and being in your feminine, like expressing her through your body, the way you move, your actions. Yep. That's the thing about this. I've set this up so that this is like integrated with your life. Nothing changes. It's not like you just come and watch a few videos and then you take in some more theory and then you go back and do the same thing tomorrow without anything new. That concept of the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again, expecting a different result. So one of the big things about our feminine energy is it's a very embodied thing. It's an embodied experience. And that's why we do Pussy Power practices. That's why we do the microcosmic orbit and the jade egg practices, because these things then embody our experience of the feminine. And then when that starts to come alive from inside of you, it comes alive, right? Like it's alive. It's clear. It's like, oh, okay. I'm not going to let people walk all over that anymore, including myself. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good, my dear. And
good. How do you suggest kind of when we're in that false feminine or that triggered moment, and we maybe so like we're kind of in the position where I'm right now where we're trying to figure out how to make that okay. I realize I'm triggered. I realize I'm not kind of in the right state that I want to be. Mm-hmm. I need to make a request for my needs, but like how do I get to a point where I can do that a little more gracefully than I feel at that moment?
Yeah, so the thing is, what often happens if we're in the false feminine, especially the princess, if like we've reached reached an explosion point, we tend to not be very graceful in the way that we're doing things. And so, firstly, self-compassion. Like if you explode, if you fumble the way you ask for a need and it's not received well, just go, okay, learning experience. That's not working for me or for them. That's not working. Yeah,
right.
So what do I need to do right now to get myself in a place where I can make an empowered request? And it might be more like, I need some time. I was talking to Elizabeth before. I need time out. I need time for myself to get clarity on what I need and to be able to speak it without it needing to be charged. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Now, just to be clear, it's not like I'm advocating you've always got to be calm and clear and cool as a queen. The queen can be very strong in the way she makes requests. She's very clear, though. Like, if something, some boundary's really been crossed and you're a queen and it's happening in the moment, you learn how to do it in the moment. And without it having to be a fight, you can say, hey, that's not okay. You've crossed a boundary. Yeah? So it doesn't mean that we become passive as we stand in our queen. It's quite the opposite. You become very clear and very empowered. But as you're learning, you might need to take a little bit of time away, okay, just to feel it out. Or we just do what you need to do in the moment, Jamie. Just do it. Learn. Yeah. We can't learn unless we're going to make mistakes. Geez, right. I make mistakes every day. Like, and then I go, okay, learn, learning, learning. What needs to happen? Moving forward, you know, we're not trying to become perfect. That's not the objective of this work. We're learning to become more awake, more present. And the thing is, when we actually become more awake and more present to ourselves, we're a lot more awake and more present to the people we love in our lives. We're able to give a lot more when we're allowing ourselves and our needs and our feminine to be honored in our life too. We're a better person and we want to be a better person. But better person doesn't mean perfect person. It doesn't mean we never make a mistake again. We never screw up an interaction and go, wow, that really didn't work well. That didn't go down well. But even, see, that's part of the queen. The queen can go straight up to somebody. I didn't say that well. That didn't go down well. Like, you learn to be able to communicate that this is not working. You know, this communication right now isn't working. And I'm contributing to that, so I think I need to have get back to you in a few hours. And it doesn't mean falling on your sword either. It just means being real.
Yeah, that's true.
Being real, being human, you know. Being human is being fallible. But as we kind of open through that, we enrichen the way that we learn how to communicate, we learn how to be, we learn how to stand in ourselves and then support that in each other. Good, good, my dear. I now have a cue, so I'm going to proceed here. But thank you so much for your presence here. I'm really feeling you a lot. It's really beautiful. I can feel you receiving a lot right now.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay. Fantastic. I have a 704 number here. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, it's Dawn.
Dawn, hello, Dawn. Which Dawn am I speaking to? I have a few Dawns in the program.
Oh, Dawn Kelton in Houston,
yes.
Texas.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I think this
might be my last call with the group.
It's only the last call
for
the year. I won't be starting up again until late January because I'll be away meditating.
Oh, okay.
But just your last call for the year. Yes, it's everybody's last call for the year.
Okay, fabulous. Well, okay, so, I mean, honestly, I think my question was mostly answered just now with the prior, or my question was mostly answered just with the prior question because, but I'm just going to kind of quickly ask it in a different way. So, and maybe it's going to be more of just an observation than a question, but I just wanted to thank you because just since I've started this journey with you, I have found myself just experiencing so much personal growth. In the way of just giving myself permission sorry about the noise, I'm parking. Giving myself permission to follow my instincts in ways that I haven't before. Mm. I'm a person who has always been I've always been quite feminine in my ways, but I've always, my whole life, been told, you know, it's always been I've always been told to repress those qualities, and you and this program have given me permission to do it, but to harness it in a way that gives me power, and it gives me permission to do that. And it's, if that makes any sense, without having to apologize for having that power. And I'm still learning, and I have a long way to go. But for the first time in my life, I really feel like I see where I'm going, and it feels right. And I am, like, I'm so hungry now, like, to get where I'm going, you know. And even though I'm not where I want to be yet, I'm ready to do it, and I want it all now. Like, I'm so hungry for it. But I've got a lot of work to do. But at the same time, you know, I'm in a relationship that feels good. And, you know, my career is on a path that is feeling right to me, and I'm listening to my intuition and allowing things to happen rather than, you know, following a certain path based on external influences and the, you know, the shoulda, woulda, couldas. Mm-hmm. And, long story short, the question. Sorry, I'll land the plane.
It's okay. No, it's great to hear your share. It's very welcome. I just want to know if there's a question. That's all.
Yes. So, this kind of goes back to what you were just talking about. So I don't want to take a lot more time, but I still slip, as all humans do, mm-hmm. And my tool so far has been meditation, yoga, take a step away. But it's, you know, jealousy and insecurity tend to be my my weaknesses.
Yeah, and they're hallmarks of the princess, jealousy, insecurity.
Yeah.
Yeah? That's hallmarks of the princess. You see, we're only jealous because we're comparing ourselves to something else or someone outside of ourselves. Yeah? And I say us. Because remember, in my model, I say that we actually all move between each of these archetypes. And so we can have these moments of being in the princess. So I'm not saying that you are a princess. I'm saying that those moments you are in the princess archetype. Yeah. And so the thing is, that's partly why I created that model, is so we can identify the feminine not as just one homogenous thing. It's got higher and lower modes. It's got more awakened and less awakened modes. Okay, so that's okay. But what that does then is you can go, oh, I'm feeling jealous. I'm comparing myself externally to something or someone else right now. That's eliciting this response. And the next question then becomes, how do I come back to myself? How do I return to feeling what I'm feeling in myself right now? And sometimes in those moments, that means you're feeling something uncomfortable. But it is way more empowered to go, oh, I'm actually feeling anxiety right now. Maybe I should just feel the anxiety rather than turn it into I'm comparing myself to somebody else. Turning it into something that becomes about something outside of me. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the most empowered things we learn to do as a queen is take full responsibility for our inner environment. What that means is nothing and nobody can trigger you. Nothing and nobody outside of you is better or worse than you. That whatever you feel, even if someone behaves badly towards you, okay, whatever you're feeling, you have the ability to take an empowered stance to that. As in, wow, that really triggered me. I'm angry. And going, I'm angry. I'm angry, or that really hurt me, I'm hurt. That simple action of owning your inner emotional landscape is a very empowered next step for you, particularly Dawn.
Okay.
Yep. It's a general response to everybody, but I'm also tuning into you. This is the thing, when a person asks me a question here, I'm tuning into the person specifically too.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my responses are general, sometimes...
So in terms of like action steps, it's just take a step back,
mm-hmm.
remind myself that I'm experiencing some anxiety and to take responsibility for my reaction.
Feel the anxiety.
Okay.
That's the empowered next step, is acknowledging, identifying that makes me, I'm feeling anxious. And you see, when we're inside of a big emotional response, we believe it's going to be that forever. And somehow one thing we can do is go, this is not forever. This is just happening right now. So how can I be present and compassionate with myself with this big emotion coursing through me right now? And what I mean by that is, how can I be with that emotion without trying to run away from it, avoid it, or blame somebody else for it? And that means feel it. And I can promise you, if you actually turn toward the big emotion, if you feel the big emotion in that moment, it will move much faster. And you'll actually start presencing yourself in a way that nothing else can.
That's fabulous. Yeah, mm-hmm. because I tend to go into this place where I'm blaming someone else and I'm saying, you're doing this or you're doing that, and I go into this victim mode, and
exactly.
it causes a lot of damage.
Yep. That's a classic human response. And this does not mean that people don't behave badly to us, but we aren't in control of their behavior. We're in control of ours. We're in control of how we respond. Yep.
Yep. Great. Thank you.
Beautiful, Dawn. Thank you. Great next steps. And please again share in the group how you're going with that.
Okay.
Great. Bye for now. Beautiful. I have a 43 prefix number 699. Who am I speaking to?
Hello, it's Ulrike.
Ulrike, hello. Do you call yourself Uli?
Yes.
I love that. Yes. Uli.
yes.
And you're calling from, is it Denmark?
From Austria.
Oh, from Austria. I apologize. Sorry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful to have you on board, Ulrike. How can I help you today?
Yeah. I feel very good and strong in my feminine when I'm practicing, but mm-hmm. I'm so vulnerable, and I lose it very quickly into man mode or even anxiety or panic. Is it the same answer as you just gave to Dawn, just to feel these feelings mm-hmm. and be mm-hmm. with them, or? What
yes
your advice?
And mm-hmm. okay yes mm-hmm. and okay there's been a mm-hmm. lot of questions in this line today, so this is an important call today for those that turned mm-hmm. up, okay, and for those that are listening on the recording. So Uli, mm-hmm. what you're really talking about is getting into relationship to vulnerability,
mm-hmm.
which is another level of depth of feeling that we all get to as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You see, vulnerability has become this dirty, dirty word and dirty concept in the world. And basically behind the belief around vulnerability is, at all cost, don't be vulnerable, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the world tells us to do. At all cost, don't put yourself in a position where you're vulnerable. And this not just on a level of the feminine and feminine power, but on the level of humanity, is an horrendous direction for humanity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It tells us that our innate vulnerability as a human being, and especially as a woman, just because our bodies are physically not as strong as the masculine, We are smaller than, we are less strong than the masculine. We're less strong than animals, big animals. We know innately vulnerability because of our smaller, less strong bodies. Okay, I can tell you that for a fact. Because I remember when I was in my 20s and I was very strong because I used to go to the gym for 2 hours a day. I took on a challenge from a small man friend of mine who was shorter than me. He was buff, but, you know, I was young, and I thought I was strong enough to take at least him on. Within 30 seconds, he had me pinned to the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was one of my earliest lessons that I didn't really uptake until another decade later. But I realized, mm-hmm. wow, I really thought I could take down a man, and I cannot. Mm-hmm. You know, without training, and I wasn't trained in self-defense, mm-hmm. understanding that piece. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing. We are vulnerable all of the time, women. Now, whether women have buffed up emotionally, you know, intellectually, believe they're strong, are in man mode, are super successful, and can do all of those things equal to men, I can promise you on a personal, emotional, and relationship level, women are innately aware of our physical weakness, and hence physical vulnerability. And I'm talking about physical vulnerability. It's at the foundation of vulnerability for us, okay? And then emotionally, we are more in touch with emotionality, and hence vulnerability as women. We are just more in touch with that. But many women have blocked that off and closed down and all of these things I said earlier on this call, okay? We've drawn boundaries by closing off. And we believe that we've closed off to the world and to hurt and to attack. But what we're actually doing is closing off to ourselves, to our heart, to our sexuality, to our feminine power. And so back to your share and your question, Uli.
Mm-hmm.
Getting into relationship to vulnerability is behind every other emotion. Dawn's at a phase in her just recent share where she has to at least just feel the emotion. And vulnerability is underneath all of them, whether you're angry, whether you're hurt, whether you're sad, whether you're feeling attacked. Vulnerability is where the real opening, spiritually, where the real opening to your feminine power and energy begins. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very real learning, and it's a lot more subtle. It's a lot more intrinsic. It's a lot more hidden than other things that are loud and overt. And we avoid feeling vulnerability because it's much easier to attack someone else. It's much easier to get angry and believe that other people are hurting us than just go, wow, I feel immensely vulnerable. Now, just to be clear, when I teach about vulnerability, we need to remember that the world has turned the word and the concept of vulnerable to be meaning weak, lesser than, incapable. It's not what vulnerability means. Vulnerability actually means open, sensitive, alive. And we want this for ourselves. And on a relationship front, this is one of the things that the masculine adores in us more than anything else, is our ability and our willingness to be vulnerable. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
To turn up in this innate, feminine, receptive, vulnerable way. And it takes time. But if this is where you're at, Lee, in this work, and you've been very, very much leaning in, it's beautiful to watch you because you're very vocal and you share a lot and you turn up to the calls, and this is why things are moving fast for you. And so you're actually moving into the vulnerability territory, which, you know, I see many women just don't want to go there. I get it, and I have a lot of compassion for that. And we have a lot of reasons to say it's not safe to be vulnerable. It's not safe to put ourselves out in the world like that. And of course, I'm not talking about being indiscriminate or foolish or putting yourself in bad situations. Of course, I'm not suggesting any of those things. And like anything else that I teach you here, vulnerability has as much to do with, or in fact more to do with, your relationship to vulnerability than to anything else.
And what exactly do you mean by my relation to how I perceive it? If I
It's acknowledging it, and it's allowing yourself to be in it and not to be terrified by it and to run away from it. So sometimes we have to name something, which is why I spend quite a lot of time, you know, I created the whole feminine archetypes model to create a naming of something. But otherwise, things are blurry and uncertain. The five modules in the Powerfully Feminine Intensive is naming the five core feminine arts to take things out of blurriness so that you know what you need to do. And so naming vulnerability means you can be having an experience and going, wow, I feel really raw, I feel vulnerable right now. And at first, the thing is, when we get in touch with vulnerability, we feel very exposed. We acknowledge that, wow, this is where and why I don't trust many people. It's hard for me to trust. But that's back to you. That's really about your relationship to yourself and the divine and all of these mysterious factors. And then exploring vulnerability. Like, what if you were to explore vulnerability in yourself? Feeling that, acknowledging that, you know, for example, you're out in the world, a man gives you a positive response or says something, oh, wow, you know, you've got beautiful eyes. Whoa, that hits your vulnerability and you go, wow, that makes me feel really vulnerable to have someone acknowledging me like that. You don't say that to them, but you feel that in yourself. You're, ooh. And if you're doing the Arise in the Queen work, you learn how to give a graceful response to that. Yeah? That's feeling and acknowledging your vulnerability. So rather than closing off or retorting or pushing it away, you go, oh, wow, that one got in. Oof. Wow. Feel that. Yeah?
Okay, yeah.
And if
Thank
there's
you.
More exploration as you're going into the vulnerability piece, Uli, then please share with us, because if it's something that you're really finding yourself going into, I'm happy to early next year do some talks on vulnerability, some further ones inside of the group. Because it's almost like this dirty word that please don't talk about vulnerability or surrender or any of these things that feel very uncomfortable to me. Please don't mention those. And yet, once you get into an empowered relationship to these things, your whole life can change, right? You literally become, you see, when we get this different relationship to ourselves here, we get a different relationship to others, right? Already, always our primary relationship is with ourselves, yeah? Beautiful, Uli. Thank you. I hope that's a helpful start to what you're sharing today.
Thank you very much. Thank you,
Candice. Okay, lovely. It's beautiful. That was a beautiful session today. Some very important topics were covered. And I once again want to really acknowledge you for your courage to ask these questions, and they are vulnerable questions, and to bring yourself forward. And you see, there's this sort of magical things when we start to engage our voice into something that we feel uncertain about or unconfident about, and put it out there and seek answers. To ask questions is a powerful spiritual principle. And whether the question is fully answered in one coaching call like this or not, the fact that you've asked the question elicits quite an internal response, like something is happening between you, your higher self, the divine, in the fact that you're turning up and that you're asking the question. Yep, hope that makes sense to you. All right, my loves, we're going to sign off for now. I'm going to unmute you so we can... Saying goodbye, you're all unmuted. Bye-bye for now. Much, much
bye.
Love.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Candace.
Beautiful to hear bye-bye. Your voices again. Much love to you.
Yes, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.